I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture this morning comes from 2 Kings chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up, struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. This is one of my favorite stories in Scripture, and it says so much to us, as I've told you about other Scripture. It seems that if we ever really sit down and read some of these stories in our Scripture, we learn life lessons, because it tells us a lot about who we are. How many here have lost their parents through death or abandonment? In what ways has your life changed due to that loss? How many of you graduated from high school, then went off to college or started a job, and you had never worked until you left high school? How many here have moved into a position at work that was once occupied by your mentor, someone you learned from as you worked under their authority? How many of you have watched as your community swore in a new mayor, or your state swore in a new governor, or our country swore in a new president? And how many have been in a relationship that resulted in a marriage or a divorce? And finally, how many have had children? As you think about these questions, I want you to think about the title of the sermon, because all of these things indicate a life transition. And we do make transitions. The question is, and what the scripture asks is, how do we do that? Do we do it with grace and honor, or do we do our transitions with anger and hate? It's very difficult for many of us to make a life transition. The list could go on and on with things that happen that make us change. It's like when I was talking to Caden, you go from being a baby, not really realizing anything, and then you become the baby who walks and talks, goes to school, goes from elementary to junior high to high school, and then on. Those are life transitions, not just for the child, but for the parents. How many of you noticed a transition when your child became a teenager? It's a big transition. there are a plethora of things in our lives that change. And the question is always going to be and always has been, how do we handle that change? How did Elisha handle losing Elijah, who was his mentor, whom he called father? Did he just give up and say, well, why even bother? If you're going to take Elijah, there's no point. Or did he press on and do the work of the Lord as Elijah has taught him? When we hear this passage from 2 Kings, we see Elijah and Elisha go through a life transition. Elijah, the great prophet, the great prophet. You can't read the Bible, you can't talk to people about the Bible, in most cases, without ever hearing about Elijah. And then he turns his ministry over to Elisha and says, it's all yours. And oh, by the way, if you see me ascending, you'll get a double portion of my spirit. Interestingly, according to our text, it's not clear whether Elijah even knew of his impending fate. But Elisha knew. And every time they went somewhere, they said, hey, did you know Elijah's going to leave? Do you know that Elijah's leaving you? Yeah, I know. Be quiet. But we don't know if Elijah knew. But it was a life transition. Everyone knew. If it was supposed to be a secret, it wasn't a very well-kept secret, because it seems everybody knew everywhere they went just exactly what was going to happen. Just as interesting, the prophets of Bethel and Jericho also knew God was planning to take Elijah. And so we see this mystery created about these two men who become the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. Now I'm going to tell you something else about Elijah and Elisha that you may not know. They performed miracles that we do not see again in Scripture until Jesus. Do you know that? No one after these two did any kind of miracle like them until we see Jesus. Interesting. You know, it was 1 year ago, this last January. No, it's 2 years, yeah, 1 year ago, this last January, that my mother passed away. Now, one of the things that was interesting about that is I have an older brother, an older sister, and then there's me. And as long as my mother was alive, the three of us felt young. My dad passed away in 1995. My mother was 87. My great-grandmother lived to be 107, and so we were praying for another 20 years, because as long as she lived, we were young. I mean, after all, we still had our parents, right? So she passed. The three of us got together and we looked. Life transition. We are now the elder generation. I can remember a time that wasn't so. Can you remember a time when that wasn't so for you? What a change that is when you lose somebody and you realize that you are that next one in line, as it was for Elisha. He did not want Elijah to ascend. He didn't want Elijah to leave. It was nice to have Elijah, because if Elisha began to feel insecure, he could go to Elijah and say, what do I do, Father? Well, now Father's gone. Another interesting point, guess what Elisha was called? Father. Next in line, he was the one. This was Elisha's hope, that his master would live a long life so he would not have to take over. Have you had those feelings in your life? I don't want my boss to pass because I may have to take over. I don't want my parents to go because I may have to take over. And it's so nice to have someone else in charge. Do you know the disciples felt that way? We don't want to lose Jesus. Oh, I'm going to die. No, you're not. Don't you do it. We'll be lost. We won't know what to do or how to do it. We need you, Jesus. He says, I'm going to leave. And you're going to have to take over. They weren't happy about it. because being a leader is a very tough thing. You make decisions. As a leader of your family, as a leader in a business, you make decisions, and not everybody likes your decisions, but not everybody knows what you know and how you made that decision. It's a lonely world. I had a boss who told me, he said, one day you're going to take over, and when you do, remember it's lonely at the top. Okay. He said, everybody tries to knock you off. If you ever get to the top, they'll all try to knock you off. I think that was just a little too much. But there are people out there who don't like leaders because they feel like I should be leading. I'm better than you are. Whatever the case, being a leader is a very difficult thing. To be a leader, whether of a family or a company or anything else, is a tough position to be in. Even if you're a committee chair or an elder in a church or a deacon, there are decisions that are made, and not everyone understands how that works. So Elisha's now stepping into the shoes of Elijah, wondering, are people going to accept me? Are they going to listen to me like they did him? It's a difficult way to live your life. Did you know during World War II, Winston Churchill was forced to make a painful decision? The British Secret Service had broken the Nazi code and informed Churchill the Germans were going to bomb Coventry. He had two alternatives. These are the alternatives that Churchill had. One, evacuate the citizens and save hundreds of lives at the expense of indicating to the Germans the code was broken, or take no action, which would kill hundreds but keep the information flowing and possibly save even more lives. He chose the latter. People died. But Churchill is there saying, I know I could save them, but if I do, there's thousands of others I may not be able to save. Those are decisions that are made. We may not like them, but then again, we're not the one that had to make it. Have you ever had such a difficult decision as a guardian or designated person? Have you had to decide whether to pull the plug on a loved one, as they say, in a hospital? To have siblings who know you're the one to make the decision and they're saying horrible things about you because they don't like your decision? Elijah chose Elisha as his successor. As leader, choosing who should succeed you is a very difficult choice because it constitutes a life transition. If you were chosen to lead something, your life will change, guaranteed. People who view you as a nice person, I like them, once you become a leader of something and they don't think that you should be or that you're making right decisions, it will affect your life. It'll be a big transition. At one time, Andrew Carnegie was the wealthiest man in America. He came to America from his native Scotland when he was just a small boy, and he did a variety of odd jobs and eventually ended up with the largest steel manufacturer in the United States. At one time, he had 43 millionaires working for him. Did you hear that? 43 millionaires working for Carnegie. In those days, a millionaire was a rare person, conservatively speaking. $1 million in that day would be around 20 million or more today. A reporter asked Carnegie how he had hired 43 millionaires. Carnegie responded, those men had not been millionaires when they started working for me, but had become millionaires as a result of working for me. The reporter's next question was this: how did you develop these men to become so valuable to you that you have paid them so much money? Carnegie replied, now listen to this, because this is very much what a Christian is about, and this is very much what Jesus did. Carnegie replied, men are developed the same way gold is mined. when gold is mined, several tons of dirt must be moved to get an ounce of gold. But one doesn't go into the mine looking for dirt. One goes in looking for gold. We find people, we may not like what we see at first, but if you're looking for the gold and not the dirt, these people can become your successor. These are the things that Jesus did with his disciples. We all know that the disciples were not perfect. And many of us may wonder, why did you ever choose them? James and John, the sons of thunder, constantly fighting? And he brought them on as a disciple? Matthew, a tax collector? For their time, they had dirt. But Jesus wasn't looking at the dirt. He was looking at the gold. This is what I can do with you. And he did. Like everything else, the more good qualities we look for in people, the more good qualities we are going to find. It's what you're looking for. If you want to see bad in a person, you'll see it. Unfortunately, that may not be the real person. And the more good qualities we find and nurture, the more likely, when time comes for a transition, we will have the Elijah experience. Do you know what that is? What's the Elijah experience? Someone looking at you and saying, I would like a double portion of your spirit. Can you say that your children will do that? Will they look to you and say, I'd like a double portion of your spirit, or an employee that you have, or a friend? If we live our life as Jesus Christ asked us to live it, people are going to ask for a double portion of our spirit. If we live our lives judgmentally and constantly looking for the dirt, if we are a person who does not forgive, who does not see that not all situations are what they seem, if we are a person who is not living in the light of Christ, it's easy to see dirt. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you. Elisha said, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit. He responded, you have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not. In other words, if you're not looking for it, you're not going to find it. Look for the gold. When was the last time someone in your family, someone in your business, a friend or anyone ever said, I want to be just like you? What a compliment. Think about it. Elisha is left in a new role with the larger-than-life legacy of his predecessor looming over him. He knows everyone believed everything Elijah said. They flocked to Elijah. And Elisha says, there he goes. Wonder if they'll listen to me. When we are left with a new role in life, do we fear not being as good as our predecessor? Or, like Elisha, do we just press on? As was Elijah, Elisha was called father. He did such a great job of stepping into his master's shoes that people began to look at him as the leader, as the great one who can help them. Those around Elisha knew he was a leader because he acted like a leader. We who are Christians are to act like leaders of Christianity. We could say that specifically to elders and to deacons, but it's true of all of us. We should all be setting an example. So when that life transition comes, when our children are left, as my brother and sister and I have been, we want to step up and say, look for the gold. We're going to keep that family going. We're going to keep what we have because we have received a double portion of our parents' spirit. And if our parents are people who are loving and forgiving and living a Christian life, What a wonderful thing to inherit. Note, the miracles of Elijah and Elisha, as I said earlier, never are performed again until Jesus Christ walks this earth. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. This is a day when we celebrate the transfiguration of Jesus. But what it really means is that the disciples learned a lesson, a life lesson, that they're about to go into a transition and Jesus is going to ascend and he's going to be with Moses and Abraham and he's going to be with Elijah, he's going to be with Elisha. He's going on, but they need to transfigure themselves into leaders. Elisha had his own transfiguration. He becomes the senior prophet of the community, empowered by the gifts of the prophet who nurtured his own gifts. What was a novice, an intern, an assistant, became one of the greatest prophets in history. Because Elijah looked for the gold in him, found it, and nurtured it. When he found Elisha, Elisha wasn't ready, but he brought him along and taught him and was a leader to him and an example to him. And Elisha took over. Life transitions are a fact. Not one of us here has not had some life transition. Even Caden, when he was in here, he's had life transitions. All of you have. Whether it be in your work or your home, which most likely it's in all of those places. Whether it's been a transition from child to teen to adult, we transition from various stages in our schooling. And in those transitions, the question will always be, how do we navigate transitions? How are you navigating the transitions of your life? I talked to a lady at Calhorn Creek last Sunday when I was there. And after I preached, she came up and said, I just learned something, which is a good thing to hear, by the way. And she said, when I came here to this retirement facility, which my children insisted on me coming, I thought life had ended. But after hearing you, I realized my ministry can continue. I can still be a leader and be a Christian. I can still be an example. God hasn't done me in. God's given me a new avenue to live the gospel. We transition from loss, whether it be from death of a loved one or divorce. How do we navigate that transition? Do we become bitter? God, why did you take them? God, why did this happen? Or do we become an example and say, you know what? Life happens. It's unfortunate to us, but it happens. From having our family with children to the empty nest syndrome, how many of you have had children? They're gone, they're married, and you were so used to having them in your home, 18 years, 19, even 20 or more, and suddenly they're not there, and we call it the empty nest syndrome. That is a life transition. How did you navigate that? From full of ability to being disabled in our later years, sometimes sooner. How do we navigate that? You're used to being young and bebopping around. Suddenly it's your knees are going, your hips are going. You might have your shoulder worked on. Do you see that as a horrible thing? Oh, look what life is doing to me. Oh, my God, just take me now. I can't do what I used to do. Or do you say, Lord, here's what I want. I want to be as productive as I can be in this situation. No, I can't do what I used to do, but I can still do for you. God hears that. I may not get around like I used to. I'll tell you a little secret. I used to play football way up until, that's right, I was around 50. I was still playing tackle football. And of all people, my mother-in-law came out there and said, Wes, stop it. You're going to get hurt. And I thought, why? I'll be young forever. I don't play tackle football anymore. It just seems like it'd be hard on the body now. Why is it important to navigate these well? Why is it important to navigate life transitions well? Because it is hoped one of our goals as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, is to reach the end of our life with our family, friends, and observers saying, "Please, let me inherit a double share of your spirit." How sad it is when someone leaves this world and somebody says, "Boy, they were bitter. They were not happy at all. They became really nasty at some point in their life, and they just weren't pleasant anymore." Is that what we want? Do we want to be the bitter, unhappy, nasty people? Or do we want to be the hopeful, the loving, the forgiving people that Jesus calls us to be? Does he not? If we live our lives in the Spirit of Christ, if we are an example of how to navigate life's transitions as Christ calls us to do, we will hear those words. And along with those words, we will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." May our children and our children's children look at us and say, "I want a double portion of your spirit." Rather than, "Boy, they weren't happy. I can remember some horrible things they said and did." We are the teachers, not just to our children, but to those around us, as to what a Christian should be and how they should act and how well they should navigate life's transitions. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we face changes every day. It's a transfiguration on a constant basis, whether it be in our private lives, our lives in business, whatever it may be. We ask that you be with us and build up our hearts and minds that we may navigate it well, that we may accept change and be leaders as you have asked us to be, so others will know that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Be with us, hold us, and love us, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.